Sadvaitam Sadvaitam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Panchakalpa Chubhyascha Kipasandvyevata Parijanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. February 26, 2016, Skype class from Hilo, Hawaii. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 9, Brahma's Prayers for the Creative Energy, Text 42. Aham Atmatmanam Data. Preshta san praya samapi. Ato mai ratim kuryad.
Ato mai ratim kuryad.
Dehad dir yad krite priya. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. I am the super soul of every individual. I am the supreme director and the dearest. People are wrongly attached to the gross and subtle bodies, but they should be attached to me only. Purport. The Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, is the dearest in both the conditioned and liberated states. When a person does not know that the Lord is the only dearmost object, then he is in the conditioned state of life. And when one knows perfectly well that the Lord is the only dearmost object, he is considered to be liberated. There are degrees of knowing one's relationship with the Lord, depending on the degree of realization as to why the Supreme Lord is the dearmost object of every living being. The real reason is clearly stated in the Bhagavad Gita 15.7, Mamai Vamso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. The living entities are eternally parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. The living entity is called the Atma, and the Lord is called the Paramatma. The living entity is called Brahman, and the Lord is called the Parabrahman, or the Parameshwar, Ishwara Paramaha Krishna, Brahma Samhita 5.1. The conditioned souls who do not have self-realization accept the material body as the dearmost. The idea of the dearmost is then spread all over the body, both concentrated and extended. The attachment for one's body and its extensions, like children and relatives, is actually developed on the basis of the real living entity. As soon as the real living entity is out of the body, even the body of the most dear son is no longer attractive. Therefore, this living spark or eternal part of the Supreme is the real basis of affection and not the body. Because the living entities are also parts of the whole living entity, that Supreme living entity is the factual basis of affection for all. One who has forgotten the basic principle of his love for everything has only flickering love because he is in Maya. The more one is affected by the principle of Maya, the more he is detached from the basic principle of love. One cannot factually love anything unless he is fully developed in the loving service of the Lord. In the present verse, stress is given to focusing love upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word kuryat is significant here. This means one must have it. It is just to stress that we must have more and more attachment to the principle of love. The influence of Maya is experienced by the part and parcel spiritual entity, but it cannot influence the supersoul, the Paramatma. The Mayavadi philosophers, accepting the influence of Maya on the living entity, want to become one with the Paramatma, but because they have no actual love for Paramatma, they remain ever entrapped by the influence of Maya and are unable to approach the vicinity of Paramatma. This inability is due to their lack of affection for the Paramatma. A rich miser does not know how to utilize his wealth, and therefore, in spite of his being very rich, his miserly behavior keeps him everlastingly a poor man. On the other hand, a person who knows how to utilize wealth can quickly become a rich man, even with a small credit balance. The eyes and the sun are very intimately related because without sunlight, the eyes are unable to see. But the other parts of the body, being attached to the sun as a source of warmth, take more advantage of the sun than do the eyes. Without possessing affection for the sun, the eyes cannot bear the rays of the sun, or in other words, such eyes have no capacity to understand the utility of the sun's rays. Similarly, the empiric philosophers, despite their theoretical knowledge of Brahman, cannot utilize the mercy of the Supreme Brahman because they lack affection. So many impersonal philosophers remain everlastingly under the influence of Maya because, Although they indulge in theoretical knowledge of Brahman, they do not develop affection for Brahman, nor do they have any scope for development of affection because of their defective method. A devotee of the sun god, even though devoid of eyesight, can see the sun god as he is, even from this planet, whereas one who is not a devotee of the sun cannot even bear the glaring sunlight. Similarly, by devotional service, even though one is not on the level of a jnani, one can see the personality of Godhead within himself due to his development of pure love. In all circumstances, one should try to develop love for Godhead, and that will solve all contending problems. Aham atma manam data praista san prayasam api atom mai ratim kurya dehad dir yat krite priya. I am the super soul of every individual. I am the supreme director and the dearest. People are wrongly attached to the gross and subtle bodies, but they should be attached to me only. We have this word ratim, atom mai ratam kuryat. Therefore, they must have love for me. Atom mai ratam kuryat. Therefore, they must have love for me. It's required. Otherwise, one cannot get anything in life. And real love starts with love of God. You know, most people talk of love, they glorify love, they sing about love. Now, how do we find actual love? Ratim is an interesting word. Affection, Prabhupada talks about affection a lot in this purport. Rati is the name of Cupid's wife. It's very much associated, therefore, with amorous love, not just any kind of love. But it's also a general term for love, and love with a deep attachment, with deep affection. So here, Krishna talks about love of the body, right? Dehadir, the body, and so on. Yat krite priya. Priya means very dear. Priya is often used in the Bhagavatam to refer to one's spouse, especially one's wife. The person who is very dear. So one thinks the body is very dear. One has love for the body. Also, Srila Prabhupada makes two interesting statements in this purport about degrees. He talks about degrees of knowing one's relationship with Krishna, and he says the more one is affected by the principle of Maya, the more he's detached from the basic principle of love. That is quite a statement. So we're talking about a relationship here where one goes up, the other goes down. There's some sort of a progression going on here. And Prabhupada then also talks about utilizing one's wealth and about having real attachment. So let's look at love in terms of these 5 points that Srila Prabhupada makes, and maybe we can understand a little bit about love. That's such a hard thing to understand. What is love? So Krishna talks about attachment to the body, wrong attachment to the body, putting our rati, our priyaha, as the body. This statement reminds us later on in the 10th canto when Krishna expanded himself as the boys and calves that Brahma had stolen. He was identical to the boys and calves in every respect, which is what bewildered Lord Brahma, because every jiva is unique and therefore it's not possible to have two identical jivas. But he wasn't exactly identical to the jivas because the other jivas in Vrindavan felt a different kind of rati, a different kind of affection and love for Krishna as the cowherd boys, Krishna as the calves, than they had for the original jivas. Their love was deeper and it was a little different in nature and a different flavor. Near the end of the recitation of that pastime, Maharaj Pariksit asked how it was possible for the parents, the cows, to have more affection for Krishna than for their own children. They were identical, their children, Krishna, they were identical, and yet Krishna, as their children, invoked more affection. How is that possible? Prabhupada talks about here, you know, your most dear child, your most dear son. So generally it's understood that one's children are the most dear. Prabhupada talks about the love of the mother being the closest to pure love. In the animal kingdom, not among all animals, of course, but among many animals, the maternal protective instinct is higher than the sexual instinct. It's a stronger force to protect your children, to care for your children, even among the many of the animals. So how could you love someone else's child more than your own child? All right, well, maybe, you know, if your own child was a criminal or something, or you were estranged from your own child. But generally, it's not like that. This problem of loving our own children more than other people's children is that the root of why Chanaka Pandit says that those who remarry become the enemy of their children. We see all the time that, you know, a person has children, and then with the first spouse, then they marry someone else, and then the children from the first spouse represent their attachment to their first spouse. And so there's a conflict between their attachment to their second spouse and their attachment to their children from the first spouse. And if they marry people who already have children, then there's the, you know, the attachment to the stepchildren and the real children, and there's a lot of angst between the stepbrothers and stepsisters and half-sisters and so forth. We saw this happen with Dhruva and Uttama in the Bhagavatam. So generally, one loves one's own children better. Suruchi loved Uttam, and she didn't love Dhruva, although Dhruva was the son of her husband. So how is it possible that one will love someone else more? And all of the parents felt this way. It wasn't just some parents. All the parents in Vrindavan had a greater attachment to Krishna in the form of their son than they had to their own son. And Sukadeva Goswami explains very much the same thing that Krishna is saying here to Lord Brahma. What do we have affection for? We have affection for something in relationship to this body. So we have affection for the place where we work. We have affection for the country where we live. We have affection to the religious community that we're born into or that we're a part. We have a connection to other societies and groups that we're a part of. We have a connection to the family in which we are born, our mother, father, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins. We have a connection to the family into which we marry, our spouse, then the children that are produced from our body. And of course, the mother tends to have a particularly strong attachment because the child grows within her body as a part of her body and is born from her body. She sees the child as an extension of her own body. So we have love for all of those. And then we have love for our own body. So I had, many months ago in June, I was in Perth, Australia at a devotee's home, and they made a sweet, kind of like a laloo, out of dried fruit and nuts, a chewy sweet. And when I bit into it, you know, you're biting something chewy, you're biting kind of hard. There was a rock in it, and I broke a tooth. And I've been working on having this one tooth fixed since June. Hopefully yesterday it finally got fixed. And I was thinking many times, you know, if the tooth is out of the mouth and you're just looking at the tooth, it's not worth anything. It's garbage. I mean, when we were little children, we used to put our baby teeth under our pillow and our parents would give us a few pennies for the tooth. But the tooth is not worth anything. It has no value. But when it's in your mouth and you're using it for chewing, then you're willing to spend time and money and effort and pain and so many things to get it fixed. Right? Any part of the body like that. You know, something goes wrong with your eyes, something goes wrong with this, with that, with your finger. Right? You have a pain in your little finger. You have a pain in your little toe. And it becomes very important. And we will take a lot of time and effort and money and pain and endeavor to take care of the body far more than we'll take for practically anything else. Although, as we say, the separated from the body, the thing has no value. So we have great love for the body. More than, generally speaking, more than for our extensions. Of course, sometimes people will sacrifice the body for their extensions. They'll go in the military, fight for their country, and they'll permanently lose their health, or they'll lose an arm or a leg. out of love for their country, people will also sacrifice their bodily health for their family members. But generally, our attachment to our body is stronger than our attachment to the expansions of our body. And stronger than our attachment to our body is attachment to our mind. Right? We're much more afraid of losing our memory and losing our mental ability, most of us, than losing our ability to walk, for example. And higher than our attachment to our mind is our attachment to our actual self, our sense of self. And frankly, higher than that is attachment to the self of the self, the super self. That is the reality. And the reason that we are attached to our self is that we are part of Krishna. The reason we are attached to our mind is that it's connected to our self. The reason we're connected to our body is that it's connected to our mind. And the reason we're attached to our family and our country and so forth is that it's attached to our body. And Srila Prabhupada gives the example here that as soon as you're out of the body, those other attachments cease, generally, unless you're unfortunate enough to become a ghost. But for most of us, as soon as we're out of the body, we have no more attachment to our family and our country, generally. Some people, of course, remain as a ghost, or they may take birth again in their family. But usually, as soon as one is out of the body, you don't even know. Just like Maharaj Chitraketu's son, who was poisoned by his stepmothers, when Narada and Angira Muni came, they restored the jiva to the body of the boy. And they said to him, "Your mother and father are crying for you. Why have you left?" And the jiva, who was now in a different state of consciousness, looked around and said, "Who is my father and mother? I have had so many births and deaths in this world, and in each birth I had a different father and mother. Please tell me, who is my father and mother?" So as soon as we are out of the body, that attachment for the family members is gone. In fact, as soon as we're out of the body, our attachment to the body is gone. As I've said many times, many examples of people who have near-death experiences, and they look through the eyes of their subtle body down at their gross body, and they don't even associate with it at all. They think it's somebody else. They'll say, "Oh, you know, that woman really had a bad car accident. Somebody should help her." And they don't understand that that was the body they were in just milliseconds before. Sometimes after a while, that's my body. Oh, I guess I've died. But it's quite common that their attachment and identification with the body is immediately gone, because that body is no longer associated with the mental body. And similarly, when one is liberated even from the subtle body, one's attachment to the subtle body is also immediately gone. Even within this life, when one identifies himself, Jivaraswara Paya Krishnara Nitya Dasha, then one loses one's attachment even for the subtle identifications. Sarvapati Vinir Muktan Tat Bharatena Nirmala Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam Bhakti Rishite. One loses attachment even for the idea of "I am black, I am white, I am brown, I am male, I am female." So all these attachments come from our attachment ultimately to Krishna. Therefore, it's said here by the Lord that we must have our attachment for what we really have our attachment for. And Prabhupada talks here about wealth. He says that a rich miser doesn't know how to utilize his wealth, and therefore, in spite of being very rich, his miserly behavior keeps him everlastingly a poor man. On the other hand, a person who knows how to utilize wealth can quickly become a rich man, even with a small credit balance. You know, Charles Dickens wrote the book A Christmas Story, A Christmas Carol, about Scrooge, who was a very wealthy man, but he liked to just count his money, you know, instead of spending it. So he lived in poverty. He was a rich man who lived in poverty. It was one of the most famous misers, a woman, I forget her name. Her son ended up having to have his arm amputated because she wouldn't pay for his medical treatment, although she died a multimillionaire. So what is this wealth that we have? The wealth that we have is our relationship with the Paramatma, our relationship with the Lord. That's the wealth that we have. And we have it all the time. Right? Vridesha Junatistiti. Krishna is in our heart. He's always with us. Right? It's like we have this huge bank balance. Krishna is unlimited. His knowledge, his love, everything is unlimited. And he's with us all the time. Just imagine, you know, if you had Bill Gates living in your house as your best friend. More than that. Billions and billions of times. More than that. Suridam Sarvabhutanam. He loves us. We are very dear to him. Sanatana Goswami says, each of the cowherd boys thinks he's Krishna's favorite, and he is. So each of us is the favorite of the Lord. Each of us is very dear to the Lord. And he has everything. I mean, his abode, Kalpraviksha Lakshabhriteshu, his abode is full of desire trees. What to speak of him personally? Eko Bahunam Yovadadati Kaman, he's supplying the desires of uncountable living entities. And he's right there, but we're not using it. We're instead giving our attachment to things related to him without relating them to him. You know, we've given these examples. You go to someone's home and they cook you a nice meal and you appreciate the meal without appreciating them. So it's related to them, but you don't relate it to them. You know, when you give somebody a gift, you want them to enjoy the gift, but you want them to enjoy that you gave them the gift. You don't want them just to enjoy the gift, generally. So we enjoy the things that come from the Lord. Our self, our actual self, our mind, our body, our family, our society, our community, and we enjoy them as if they had no relation to the Lord. We try to please our family members just between me and my family member. Although Krishna's in their heart, Krishna's in my heart. I try to serve my country, my society, my community. Although Krishna's in everyone's heart and he's in the earth, water, fire, but I don't see him. And I serve my body, I take so much care. You know, what I eat, how I exercise, what doctors I go to, everything. And I don't see, okay, Bhumir Arpana Lova Vayu, this is all Krishna's energy. I take so much care of my mind, I get so much education. People spend so much time and money and effort on education. I try to learn so many things. Entertain my mind. People are spending so much time and energy today entertaining their mind. Television, movies, computer games, phone games, everything. So much time entertaining their mind without connecting that with Krishna and then the bodily senses. Again, so much time, energy, and money, good food, finding a satisfying sexual partner, comfortable clothes, wonderful music, beautiful artwork. And it's just the amount of time, energy, and money that's being spent on all these things for the senses. But without in relationship to the Supersoul, so it's useless. It's not utilizing the wealth properly, and therefore, even though all the wealth is there, one remains poor, one remains unsatisfied. As Krishna says, always dissatisfied, burning like fire, never satisfied. So no matter how much we love our family, no matter how much we love our society, no matter how much we love our community, right? There was a recent difficulty in my point. I'm not there, and so there, and I certainly don't know what the actual story is at all. But one of the people involved wrote a long letter. Basically, I've given, you know, this much service, up to the moon of service, selflessly, for so many years, myself and my family, we've sacrificed so much, and now I've been insulted, and I've been rejected. And that's, whether or not that's true in his particular case, that's the general story. We give and we give and we give and we give and we give. We give to our country, we give to our family, we give to our employer, we give to our body, we give to our mind, and what do we get in return? our body falls apart, our family, they have their own ideas, our country, you know, they may not take care of us. So we're poor. We're pouring our love into things out of relationship with Krishna, and therefore, although he's right there, we are very poor. And it's interesting, Prabhupada said that a person who knows how to utilize wealth can quickly become a rich man even with a small credit balance. So this gives us some hope that even if my relationship with the Lord is not yet very developed, even if I just have some idea that the Lord is in my heart and is my best friend, if I know how to utilize that little bit, then I can quickly get my true wealth. It's simply knowing how to use it. Prabhupada would often give the analogy of a spark. You know, you take a spark and you fan it and it becomes a blazing fire. We may say, well, I don't have much love for Krishna. But it's proportional. It's not an on-off switch. And here Srila Prabhupada talks about this in a negative and in a positive way. Let's look at the negative first. The end of the first paragraph, Prabhupada says, is kind of heavy statements. One who has forgotten the basic principle of his love for everything has only flickering love because he is in Maya. So when we forget the basic principle of love that everything's connected with the Lord, the only kind of love we can have for our mind, our body, our family, our country, and so forth, is a kind of flickering love. Every once in a while we may feel a little bit of something that we can call love, but it's not stable and it's not expansive. Then Prabhupada says this, the more one is affected by the principle of Maya, the more he is detached from the basic principle of love. What a statement. What is Maya? Maya means that which is not. And what does it mean in this context? Trying to enjoy separately from Krishna. Because it's not possible. We can't enjoy anything separately from Krishna. Whatever we are enjoying through our extended or direct bodily and mental relationships is all connected with Krishna. Whatever pleasure we're getting is Krishna. Krishna is rasoham absukanteya. He's the taste of water, but rasa doesn't just mean water or liquid. Rasa means any taste, any pleasure is rasa. So whatever rasa we're getting from anything, ultimately, that is Krishna. But as long as we're stealing from Krishna instead of relating to Krishna, then the basic principle of love is something we can't experience, because the basic principle of love is giving and not taking. And the basic principle of love is caring about the happiness of the person I love, not caring about my happiness at their expense. And Maya is seeing things as separate from Krishna. Whatever appears to be a value for us without relation to me has no reality. So although the happiness I'm getting from whatever it is, my food, my clothing, my romantic relationships, my music, my art, my relationship with other people, with my relationship with animals, my relationship with nature, whatever it may be, that gives us a sense of rasa, that is Krishna. But as long as I'm affected by Maya, I don't experience it properly. But it's a degree, to whatever degree, the more he is, Prabhupada starts using the word more. More means there's degrees. So you can be in more or less Maya. When you're in the mode of ignorance, you're in very great Maya. When you're in the mode of passion, you're kind of middle Maya. When you're in the mode of goodness, it's very slight Maya. And even in bhakti, there's bhakti performed in ignorance, bhakti performed in passion, bhakti performed in goodness. There's chanting with offenses. There's chanting in clearing. Prabhupada says, as soon as you chant in the clearing stage, immediately you become liberated. He said, as soon as you chant on the pure stage, immediately you develop love of God. So it's progressive. So that's on the negative. The more you see things as separately from Krishna, the more real love eludes you. You can't find it. So the more covered we are by illusion, the more that nothing that is similar to love can exist in our lives. And perhaps it is for this reason that people take up religious life in order to experience material happiness, the Sakama devotees. Even those who say, well, we have to become religious in order to be moral and ethical, that's also sakkama, if that's our purpose for religion. Because it's a fact that the less illusion one's in, the more you're connected with God, the more you can experience something called love. However, Prabhupada said, one cannot factually love anything unless he is fully developed in the loving service of the Lord. So until that love is full, until it's prema, until it's totally uncontaminated, then our love for others will not be completely factual. It will still be flickering. It's still mixed with something selfish. Now let's look at the positive. Prabhupada says, beginning of this purport, there are degrees of knowing one's relationship with the Lord, depending on the degree of realization as to why the Supreme Lord is the dearmost object of every living being. A year or so ago, I remember a discussion with a devotee about whether or not we have an inherent eternal swarup. Although the word swarup is used in the Shastra to refer to our original position. The word swarup literally means one's form. Obviously, it can also mean things like one's nature, like swabhava. But the question they were asking specifically is, do we have an inherent and eternal without beginning specific relationship with the Lord? You know, is this particular jiva actually a cowherd boy named such and such? You know, the little spider in the tree out there. Does that spider have an eternal name and form and relationship with Krishna? Or does that develop in the process of self-realization? So this was the discussion. So this other devotee was saying, well, we don't. It's developed in our sadhana. It didn't exist before our sadhana. And his point is, when you realize God, you should just realize God. But people realize God, you know, and just realize the Brahman. People realize God and just hear us talking a lot about Paramatma, just realize the Paramatma. Or they realize God and realize Narayana. Maybe their ultimate relationship is in Vrindavan. So his point was, well, as soon as you realize God, there's no more Maya. And if there's no more Maya, why wouldn't you immediately see your relationship with Krishna? Why is there such a thing as Brahman realization? Well, you don't understand your relationship with Krishna because Maya is absent. And the only thing that's covering your eternal relationship with Krishna is Maya. So that sounds like a very good argument. But Prabhupada talks about here that there's degrees of realizing God. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Subjite. Just like there's degrees of being in Maya, there's degrees of realization of God. And one may not get the full realization of God. Why not? Because one doesn't want the full realization of God at that point. One realizes oneself, therefore, only partially. One realizes God only partially, and one realizes oneself only partially. So this fact should be very enlivening to us, that again, we can have partial realization of Krishna that can still be genuine. Sometimes we think, well, as long as I'm in Maya, then I can't have any genuine realization of God. Everything I have about God is fake. No. One can have partial, genuine realization. I was cooking rice the other day. It wasn't quite done at 15 minutes, so I turned the stove on again, and the way that particular burner is, the burner's got several layers, like, and the low for the inside burner is right next to the high for the middle layer. So accidentally, instead of turning it back onto low, I turned it onto high, and the rice started to burn. So afterwards, you know, there was burned stuff on the pot that didn't come out in the dishwasher. So I'm there cleaning it, and, you know, part of the pot is visible. Part of the inside bottom of the pot is visible, the silver color, and part of the pot inside is black. It wasn't an either-or. It wasn't that the whole bottom of the pot was black or the whole bottom of the pot was silver. And as I was cleaning it, more and more of the pot became visible and less of the black was there. Now, because there was still black in the pot, didn't mean that the part that was silver that was visible was not genuine. So Prabhupada talks about developing real attachments. And he says this real attachment does not depend on being a jnani. Does not depend on having the jnana. It just depends on affection. How to develop this affection for Krishna? We already have it. It's already there. We are already a wealthy person. He's already in our heart. We're simply giving it to things out of relationship with him. All we have to do is make it in relationship with him. That's all. Everything we're already loving has some relationship to Krishna. Just become aware of it. It really is only that. And that means to have a desire to become aware of it, to make a conscious effort to become aware of it, that everything I'm attached to, everything I'm giving my rati to now, is related to Krishna. Related to Krishna. As one does that, one gradually starts getting attachment or rati for Krishna directly. And Srila Prabhupada, Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were so expert in this idea of yukta vairagya, taking everything and relating it to Krishna instead of just giving it up. So instead of just saying, you know, well, my education is useless, my income is useless, my family is useless, let me just move into a temple ashram and chant all day. We say, how can I relate my education to Krishna? It's already related. Where is it related? Find the relation. How is my job related to Krishna? How is my service to my family related to Krishna? How can I serve my family in a way that's actually service to Krishna? How can I take care of my job in a way that's actually service to Krishna? That's it. Just to do that. And then our natural affection goes to Krishna. And we naturally see how to become affectionate. It's not something we have to learn. We all know how to be affectionate. The dog knows how to be affectionate. And the dog is not Vedically a very elevated creature, but it knows how to be affectionate. You know, we have a 2-year-old here. And he's so enthusiastic when my son, or anybody, but particularly his father, comes home from work or comes home from anywhere. He's practically like jumps through the ceiling, and he has big smile and, Daddy! A dog knows how to do that. A dog. A 2-year-old child. Or I like to tell the story of our ducks. Right? We used to grow a garden in Detroit. We had a problem with slugs. Slugs are like snails without shells. And those slugs are just voracious. They would eat those plants down to nothing like that. You know, you put all this energy, you grow from seed, and you put the plants on the ground, and the plants are like so high, and then finished from the slugs. So we tried so many different things that didn't work very well. And then I read that ducks eat slugs. So I got a couple ducks. And I was the one who took care of them, the children a little bit, mostly me. My husband didn't do anything for them. He didn't give them food, he didn't give them water, he didn't nothing. But they loved him. They loved him. And he would drive a little truck, and they knew the sound of his truck. And when they heard that truck coming down the street and turning the corner, they would get all excited. And they would. So the ducks know how to show love. I mean, he was always thrilled that he comes home to the ducks greeting him. So if ducks can love, if tigers can love, if 2-year-old children can love, we can love. We know how to love. We know how to love our body. What does Prahlad Maharaj say? Tells his friends, just as you care for yourself, care for Krishna. I know how to take care of my body with affection. I clean it. I clean its teeth. I clean its hair. I clean its skin. I clean its cloth. I feed it the kind of food that it enjoys. I have it listen to the kind of music that it likes. I surround it with the kind of people that it likes. I take care of it when it's broken. I meditate on it a lot. How is my body doing? How is my body feeling? Yes, do we all know how to do this? So do that for Krishna. And for we have the deity. put the deity to sleep. We wake the deity up. We give the deity a bath. We give the deity the food that he likes. We give the deity nice clothes to wear. We sing songs that are pleasing for the deity to hear. We surround the deity with people that the deity likes to be with. And we meditate on the deity. What would Krishna like? What would Krishna like? What would Krishna not like? Just as we do now with ourself and our family. So that's the process. And not to be discouraged, because it is gradual. To whatever extent we develop our attachment to Krishna, to that extent our maya will decrease, and to whatever extent we're in maya, to that extent we will not even understand the principle of love. I have an appointment very early this morning. I'm not going to be able to take questions, for which I apologize. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.